Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. My guest across the way is Judge Brad Blyer. He's a judge in the First Circuit. We're up here in the Second Circuit now, aren't we, Judge?
That's right. First Circuit is the 9 southernmost counties of the state. I'm in Williamson County. Williamson, Jackson, Saline are the northernmost counties in the First Circuit, and then all the other counties down to Alexander at Caro.
Now, typically, how many, if you're in the First Circuit, do they ever ship you up here to the Second Circuit or any of the other circuits in Southern Illinois? Because this appellate thing you're running for, that's a big, big area.
It is a big area. It's a 37-county district, the 5th District Appellate Court. It covers basically every county south of Springfield. The three counties that are in the northern border of the 5th District are Shelby County, Christian County, and Montgomery County, and then everything south. The only reason that I would be asked or assigned to come to the Second Circuit to hear a case is if the judges in the Second Circuit had a conflict and they needed a judge from outside of their circuit. Yeah. And that happens on occasion, not that often. And on occasion in the First Circuit, if we need a judge from outside our circuit, we'll ask someone from the Second to come down and hear that case.
Well, I just started asking you questions before even welcoming you to the show. Thanks very much for joining the show, Brad. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. You're welcome. I appreciate your giving me the time to come on.
I know that, and the reason you're here is because we're trying to judge candidates don't really get the opportunity to introduce themselves to the public, do they? Especially appellate court candidates.
Well, they really don't, Bruce, and I really appreciate the opportunity to come on. You know, I have been going across this 37-county district now for many months, and the one thing that I have learned is that people just don't know a lot about judges and how they're elected and are not that familiar with the appellate court, mm-hmm. what it does, mm-hmm. why those jobs are important. And I think this gives me and the other candidates an opportunity to talk to the voters, talk to the people, and just try to give them some information about what the appellate court is, what it does, and why these elections are important.
Tell me, let's give the thumbnail sketch then on Brad Blyer right now. For folks in Wayne, Edwards, Clay counties who've never heard of you, maybe. You've been around, but you haven't been able to meet all that many people. Give me the thumbnail on Brad Blyer.
Okay. I'm 60 years old. I'm married. I've been married for 28 years.
What's your wife's name?
My wife's name is Valerie. Have 2 sons. They're grown. 1 grandson.
Where are your sons now?
Both of my sons right now are actually in Texas. My oldest son was working at a coal mine in Coulterville and was concerned with some things that were going on about maybe being laid off. He and his wife got an opportunity to both take jobs at the University of Texas in Austin. He's working there in the maintenance department with the university, and she has a teaching job, so they are in Austin. And our youngest son is in Dallas. He just graduated from dental school at Alton, SIU Dental School in Alton, and he is doing an orthodontic residency program at Baylor School of Dentistry in Dallas, Texas.
Wonderful. It sounds like they're both ready to send money home.
Well, hopefully they're off of our payroll now for a while, so that's a good thing.
Does your wife do anything, have a job other than raising sons?
No, she does. She is self-employed as a court reporter, and not a court reporter that works in the courthouses, but it's what's called a freelance court reporter.
Is that for depositions?
Depositions where she works for private lawyers need court reporters to take what's called a deposition, where they have persons that are put under oath and asked questions about a particular case.
I got to tell you, I've known a few court reporters in my time, and that's kind of a disappearing skill, isn't it?
It really is. In fact, there was a program at SIU, a court reporting program that's been disbanded several years ago, and then they had a program at John A. Logan College, and that is no longer there. And it really is a problem, I think. There is going to be a shortage of court reporting, I'm afraid, because the schools that provide that training just aren't available right now. There's one in St. Louis is the closest one now, I think.
Okay, so you've been an attorney for how long?
Well, I've been a judge for over 12 years. I was appointed as a judge in 2004 by the Illinois Supreme Court. Was elected then in the 9-county First Circuit without opposition in 2006. Was retained in 2012. So I've been a judge for over 12 years. Before that, Bruce, I was a private attorney in Southern Illinois for 21 years. My practice was what was typically called an insurance defense practice. I defended people and companies that were sued in litigation across Southern Illinois. I represented doctors. I defended doctors that had been sued. I defended hospitals. I have defended school districts and municipalities, police officers. And really, my practice took me all over Southern Illinois, and I tried lawsuits throughout Southern Illinois.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to school at SIU Carbondale, both my undergrad and my law school. My undergrad degree was actually in education, and I actually taught school and coached for a couple of years before I decided to go back to law school.
What'd you coach? What was your teaching and what'd you coach?
I was a teacher and coach at Cumberland County Schools, which is in Greenup, Toledo. It's actually Cumberland County.
Well, I guess that is.
Which is just east of Effingham. And I was a head baseball coach, assistant football, and assistant basketball coach there.
At Greenup?
At Greenup, Toledo, yes.
At Cumberland. That's pretty. So you got out of that in the late 70s, early 80s?
That would have been in the late 70s, and then I went back to law school, and I graduated law school at Carbondale in 1982.
What made you want to become an attorney after having been in education?
Well, it was kind of a quirk of fate, I think. I had I'm from Carterville. I have a twin brother that also was in education, and he was teaching and coaching in Harrisburg. At the same time that I was teaching in Cumberland County, there became an opening in Carterville, our hometown, for a teacher and a coach, basketball coach, and I was really interested in that, and I sent my application and got a call from the athletic director, whom I knew very well, and he said he had received my application and wanted to know if I was aware that my twin brother had also applied for that job. So I thought maybe that was was karma. Maybe I needed to try something different. I always had some interest in the law and applied, took the law school admission test and applied, was accepted, and decided to do that.
Well, it's no good competing against your brother for the same jobs, is it?
Well, he's retired now, so he's smarter than I am.
Well, that's wonderful. So you got into the law, graduated from SIU. When you got into it, did you want to go into more of the civil side versus the criminal side, or what were your thought processes as you got into it and as you learned more about the art, I guess?
I actually had, during law school, worked in the Williams County State's Attorney's Office and then for a short time after law school, and did find that interesting, an opportunity became available to start a civil practice, and I decided to do that. Mm-hmm. It was a business decision,
sure.
More of a private practice as opposed to a government job, and I just thought I'd prefer to do that.
Why did you decide to become a judge? Just the normal progression, or did you get a little tired of the civil practice, or what was the thought process?
Well, I just saw it as an opportunity at the time that the judgeship became available. I had practiced for 21 years at that time.
It was better money, too.
It was a, well.
I presume. I don't know.
Better money as a judge, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, in my case, it really wasn't. I mean, I had a practice that kept me very busy, and I just felt like after 21 years of practicing, and I was doing a lot of traveling, a lot of time on the road, a lot of time away from family, and I just felt like it was an opportunity to maybe shift gears a little bit. And I think in any career, when you get a chance to do something a little bit different, it kind of is a refresher and kind of gives you a new perspective.
It jogs you, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
I'm talking with Judge Brad Blyer. He's First Circuit Court judge here or down in Williamson County. He is running for the 5th District Appellate Court here in Mount Vernon. And I'm going to talk a little bit more with Brad about what the process of being a judge, as well as what goes into the appellate process. When we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show, you are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Back after these.
I'm walking out by myself. Well, I was talking to myself about you. What am I gonna do? I was singing this song about you.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. My guest across the way is Judge Brad Blyer. He's a district court judge, circuit court judge, down in the First Circuit in Williamson County. And he is running for the 5th District Appellate Court here up here in Mount Vernon. Now, you've been a circuit court judge for 12 years. What got behind you last year, I guess, you decided to run for appellate court? What made you decide you wanted to run for appellate court from the circuit court?
I had been, as you mentioned, Bruce, a judge for 12 years, a little over 12 years. I had known retiring Judge Bruce Stewart, who is retiring from the appellate court.
And you're running for his seat.
I am running for his seat to replace him as a result of his retirement. And Judge Stewart came to me before he had even announced his retirement and had talked to me about his plans and just talked to me about my interest, if I had one, in running to replace him. And I talked to my family and talked to people that I work with and made the decision that I thought that it was worthwhile, that it was important, and that I was at a stage in my career where I felt like I had the experience and qualifications that I thought I could do the job, and that's the reason I pursued that.
Tell me a little bit about the process of campaigning, because you're going over 37 different counties now. I'm presuming you're meeting more people than you ever thought you'd meet in your life.
Well, I am, Bruce, but the real challenge when you're running as a candidate for the appellate court in 37 counties is trying to get your message out and trying to get as much information as you can to as many voters as you can. You know, the problem with running in a district that big is that I know that on November the 8th, when the election is held, that the vast majority of the people that will go in and vote in that appellate court race will not have heard of me, will not know who I am, will not know who my opponent is.
It's not like you're Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's not a good thing. I think that when the voters go in and they, you know, they know the local races, they know who's running for circuit clerk, they know who's running for county board races. Those are people that they see every day, that they know well. They can make an informed decision. But when they get down to the bottom of the ballot and they see two races on there, as they will in November for the 5th District Appellate Court, most people are not going to really understand what that appellate court is, what it does, and are really not going to know very much at all about those candidates. So I think it's really important, and what I've been trying to do over the last year and a half is to meet as many people as I can. I've talked on radio shows. I've talked to Lions Clubs, Kiwanis, Rotary Clubs, civic organizations, church groups, really tried to get as much information about myself and my candidacy to as many people as possible.
What are you finding out there as you're meeting all these people in different areas of the state and different places somebody living in Collinsville is not going to have the same requirements or same kind of needs as somebody living in Vienna?
Well, I think though that the concern is generally the same all across the 37 counties. You know, I when you initially go in and talk to people, I will just ask them, are any of you familiar? Have you ever heard of the 5th District Appellate Court? Do you know what it does? And most people have very little information.
Yeah.
They understand that their county has a county courthouse, and they understand that judges are working in those courthouses every day and
sure.
making decisions about family matters and juvenile matters and criminal matters, and they get that. They understand that. What they don't appreciate is that every one of those decisions that is made by those judges in those counties across southern Illinois are subject to being reviewed by the 5th District Appellate Court. So if a judge in any of those counties decides a case, makes a decision, the losing party can then appeal that case to the 5th District Appellate Court, and the appellate court will either affirm that judge's decision, say the judge made the right decision,
right.
or reverse it, and maybe reverse it outright, or maybe reverse it and send it back to the judge with instructions to do things differently. So it really is something that's important, and it really does affect individuals in each of these counties.
What percentage of decisions do you think are appealed? I mean, they have to be very small, right?
Well, I don't know the percentage, but Bruce, you would actually, I think, be surprised
really?
At the number of cases that get appealed from courthouses every day across southern Illinois. Many of your criminal cases will get appealed. There is a conviction.
Yeah.
There are many appeals on those criminal convictions. In many of the civil cases, where the judge has made a legal ruling, or if there has been a jury trial and judges had to make decisions throughout that trial about what evidence the jury should consider, or giving legal instructions to the jury as to how they're to decide the case, the party that ends up losing those cases often does appeal that. I think people would be surprised at how often that does happen.
What in your background, both as a civil litigator for the most part, as well as the circuit court judge, and as the circuit court judge, you handled both civil and criminal, I presume.
Yes, right? I have.
What in the background thinks makes you think that you'd be as good at this or better at this than say, well, your opponent or somebody else that's or Mr. Stewart or I mean, Mr. Stewart's pretty good.
Judge Stewart has been an excellent judge. It really is an honor to run to
replace him.
Replace him. And
big
and,
shoes,
and fill that seat. He was had a lot of respect across Southern Illinois and from the legal community. So it really is an honor to attempt to replace him. You know, I think, Bruce, that the important thing about being an appellate court judge is to have the necessary experience where you have actually been in the courtroom. You have seen these things. You have done these things. You know what the judge, the trial judge, the county court judge is thinking, what he's doing, what issues he's facing when that case comes to appeal, if you've been there and done it yourself. So
right.
I really think that the fact that I've had the opportunity, and it's been a privilege for me to be a judge for 12 years, and I've had that opportunity to handle every type of case that there is, handle a lot of jury trials. I really think that that experience prepares me well for being able to go to the appellate court and then review what other judges are doing.
Give me a little background. I'm going to ask you, when we've got another break, and I'm going to ask you after the break a little bit about some of the past elections and that kind of thing. But give me a little background on, as a judge for the last 12 years, what were like the longest criminal trial that you had? I mean, did you ever have a, have you ever had a circus? I mean, that I guess that's part of your job as a circuit court judge. To keep something from getting out of hand, isn't it? Like, I'm talking about maybe the one, we remember in Columbia a few years ago, whenever they had the fellow who killed his wife and children. That became a tremendous media circus. And you're probably, as a judge, the judge wants to keep a courtroom in control and keep everything in control, doesn't he?
Well, the judge does have the responsibility of keeping the courtroom under control. Really, Bruce, in the 12-plus years that I have been a judge, I've not had any problem.
I bet you feel pretty fortunate about that.
I do feel fortunate, but I really think that a judge has a lot to do with establishing the tone of the courtroom. You know, I think that you have to certainly be in charge. You have to be firm. You have to make sure that everyone understands the ground rules. But at the same time, I think you've got to let people know that when they come into that courtroom, that they come in with the confidence that there is a freedom to say what they want to say and to present their case and to feel that they are given an opportunity to speak freely and to talk about what they feel their position in the case is. And I think as a judge, you've got to be able to walk that line between running a very orderly courtroom and at the same time making sure that people have the confidence that they're getting their case heard fairly and are getting a fair opportunity to present their case to the judge.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I got to say, Judge, I'm here with Judge Brad Blyer from Williamson County, the First Circuit judge down there. I presume that the creation and establishment of that tone well before any parties get into the courtroom, or well before even any question comes up, any argument, any crime is done, plays a large part in the civility of a court setting, right?
I think it does, and I really think that a judge that is comfortable in his courtroom is better able to set the tone the right way.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times maybe you have judges that come on the bench that maybe haven't had the experience of being in the courtroom, and they're maybe a little intimidated by the process themselves.
Yeah, I wonder if
And therefore they tend to maybe overreact a little bit to things in the courtroom. I think you've got to be comfortable as a judge. You've got to be comfortable in your abilities to handle what comes up. And I think if you do that, I think you present the right type of of attitude in the courtroom, and I think people then they relax a little bit. They don't feel intimidated. They don't feel like it's a process that they are intimidated by,
yeah.
And they're a little more comfortable themselves in the courtroom.
I got to tell you, the reason I'm asking you here, the reason I'm asking these questions, Brad, is I've just met you today, right? First
yes.
time we've ever
yes.
met. You're about as laid back an attorney I've ever met.
Well,
is that a good thing? I guess that's a good thing for what you're trying to do, right?
I think it is. Hopefully it's a good thing. You know, I have been asked several times what I thought was the maybe the most important attribute or important personality trait for a judge, and I have always thought that maybe as important as legal ability is patience. And,
yeah.
you know, and that's something that I have always tried to do in the courtroom, and be patient with the litigants, be patient with the attorneys, treat them with respect. And I think if you do that, you get that respect back.
I'm talking with Judge Brad Blyer. He's the judge of the First Circuit Court down in Williamson County. He's running for the 5th District Appellate Court up here in Mount Vernon. And he's from Carterville. We're going to talk when we return about we're going to talk a little bit about some of the wild elections and that kind of thing in the past on the appellate, and how this one's a little bit different, and maybe a little bit of find out why. Again, this is the Bruce Dickey Show. You are listening to AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. It's 81 degrees, 946 on the way up to 88 on the day. Should be a very pleasant afternoon, if a little warm. I'm joined this morning by Judge Brad Blyer from Williamson County. He's a First Circuit Court judge. He's running for the 5th District Appellate Court. One of the two seats. Is this this is a little unusual, Brad, in that there are two seats available at this go-round for the appellate court?
It is very unusual, Bruce, and I think that that even adds to some confusion among the voters as to exactly what is happening there on those elections. I think a lot of people are hearing from several candidates
right.
and don't appreciate that there are actually two separate positions that are going to be filled
right.
on that November at the November election.
And you are running as a, I haven't even mentioned your party affiliation, and it probably doesn't really matter all that much other than it's a way to get on the ballot, right? I mean,
it is. That's one thing that has been discussed for quite some time, whether judges should have to run on any party affiliation. I am of the position that you shouldn't. I don't think it should have anything to do with politics.
Yeah.
But in our state, you do have to run with a party affiliation, and I am running with a Democratic affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
My opponent is from Madison County. It's Judge John Barberis from Madison County, and the two of us are running to for election to the Bruce Stewart vacancy. And then in the other election, Judge Randy Moore is running as the Republican, and Judge JoBeth Weber is running as the Democrat to fill the Jim Wexton vacancy.
There, so on the 5th District Appellate Court, there are, five or seven judges?
There are actually seven judges.
Seven judges, and only three are seated for a particular case, right?
That's right. It's a three-judge panel that will hear and decide every case. And it has to be decided by a majority. Two out of the three have to agree.
And the term is 10 years?
It's a 10-year term, yes.
Okay, so that's kind of also what makes it unusual in that this is a two-judge race, two opening races. The reason I ask, and the reason I bring all that up, is to ask this. Over the past several years, including the Supreme Court race from like 2004 to the last two or three appellate court races, the amount of money raised by different parties, different candidates, has been just astronomical. And that hasn't happened in this one. And I was wondering, Brad, why was it so high in the previous ones, or why is it so low in this one? What gives? Can you answer? There's your great question.
Well,
Brad, gives?
I guess, Bruce, you know, you could do a whole hour-long show just on that issue itself, on financing of judicial races. It really is something that has been talked about a lot, and talked about a lot over the last few years. You know, I think that the huge amounts of money that have come into judicial races is not a good thing.
Yeah.
I think the problem is that when the public sees large amounts of money coming into judicial races, they have a perception
that's buying somebody.
That's going to have some influence on the judge. And, you know, when the public loses its confidence in the impartiality of the judicial system, we've got a real problem. And
right.
That's the hazard, I think, with the big money coming into these races. You know, some states have looked at and have actually enacted some reforms on financing judicial races, and particularly in the appellate court and Supreme Court races. And what they have done is actually gone to a public financing of those races, which I actually think is a very good thing.
Yeah.
I think that if each candidate were allotted a specific sum and could only spend that amount of money and that amount only, it levels the playing field. It's not coming in from special interest groups. There's not a perception that the judge is going to be influenced in any way. Because, Bruce, I mean, you've got to have a court system where when people come in, they have a confidence that the judge is going to be impartial.
Right.
It just has to be that way.
And that's one of the other things, even in those races over the past several years. Lloyd Carmeier versus Gordon Meg, for one. The Supreme Court, the largest judicial race, largest amount of money raised in a judicial race in the country. You got to figure that nothing against Gordon Meg and nothing against Lloyd Carmeier, both of them would have done a pretty good job as a Supreme Court justice, don't you think?
Well, I think so. Let
me rephrase that. To get to that level, to get to the level where you're probably considered qualified to become a Supreme Court justice, or in your case, an appellate court justice, you've done something right, right?
Well, we hope so. Yes.
Yeah, I guess so. Do you see anything like that happening? Any change? I know you mentioned that the change is possible, but do you see anything like that, especially in Illinois?
Well, I don't know. There certainly have been some discussions, Bruce. I think that there is a feeling out there, and maybe beginning to be a consensus, that there is a better way of doing things. I think the challenge that you have is that when you are running as a candidate in 37 counties it's going to take some money. It's going to take enough money to be able to get information out across those 37 counties,
right,
so that when the voters go in and vote in that election, they know something about the candidate.
Yeah.
They have some information. It's an informed vote as opposed to just going in, seeing names on the ballot, not knowing anything about them, and doing one of two things, either leaving it blank because they don't know the candidates,
right,
or just voting a party affiliation. And neither of those is a good thing. So I think that it is necessary that you raise sufficient money that you'll be able to get that information out. But at the same time, the large amounts of money that are coming into these races is not good, and that creates a perception that is not a good perception.
You've mentioned earlier about this being 37 counties and the Christian County, Shelby County, as far north as you go. Are you able? Let me rephrase it. Let me put it a different way. Three of the candidates for these two seats are from Southern Illinois, basically southeastern or south central Illinois, whereas most of the people in Southern Illinois in this 37 counties would be in the Metro East area. Are you able to get your message out, or in the Metro East area, are you able to spend enough time there to get the message out where the more people are, are you seeking to spend more time where there may not be as many people, but maybe have a better chance of getting hold of somebody?
Well, really trying to do both, trying to spend as much time as you can in all of these counties so that you get your message out. You're right, Bruce. Right now, four of the five elected positions on the 5th District Appellate Court are being held by judges either from Madison or St. Clair County.
Yeah.
And my opponent is from Madison County. If he were to be elected, then five out of the six elected positions,
right,
would then be from either Madison or St. Clair County. And I really do think that the counties outside of the Metro East do need representation on that appellate court.
Yeah.
We're not really, you know, it's not like a state legislator where we're actually advocating for these other counties, but I think it's a judge from those counties that knows
those people in those
knows
counties,
the people,
right,
in those counties, knows the judges in those counties, knows when a decision comes from any of these smaller counties. We know the judges. We know the people. We know what their daily lives are like, and I think that geographic balance on the appellate court is really important.
Tell me, we don't have a whole lot of time. Tell me what's the most surprising thing you've found in your campaigning and going around for the last 14 months, 15 months. What's the most surprising thing that in meeting people that you've run into?
I think the most surprising thing is, number one, lack of complete understanding about what the appellate court does and maybe the lack of appreciation for how important it is. I just think that people are very receptive when I come and talk to them to get that information. And after I talk to a group and we meet and answer questions, you know, I have a lot of people come up to me and they really appreciate the fact that we've come by and talked to them and given them information and let them understand that when they go in November that these two positions are going to be at the bottom of the ballot and they can anticipate that they're going to be there. There are some ways that you can get information about judges. The State Bar Association puts out information and evaluations on all the candidates. Anyone can go to the Illinois State Bar Association website and get a lot of information about each of us as candidates, and I think that's helpful, and I would urge the listeners to do that.
As you get a chance to talk to folks, do you find the electorate, what mood are you finding people? Because you're talking to people all over Southern Illinois. I asked that same question to the other judge candidates that I've talked to, and they said there's some anger.
Well, I think that you're talking about maybe the election that's coming up as a whole. I really think that, you know, these judicial races, these aren't political races. They shouldn't be. you know, politics shouldn't come into play in a
right.
judicial race. So so I'm not really, you know, getting a sense as far as my race and these judges' races that there's any kind of an ill will or a bad feeling. I think in general that people that I've talked to respect judges, respect the job that we try to do and the importance of the decisions that we're making every day. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, I was going to say that must make you feel good.
Makes me feel very good. I appreciate that very much.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show today, Brad. Thanks very much for being here.
You're very welcome, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Folks, that's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. That was Judge Brad Blyer, the First Circuit Court judge down in Williamson County. He's running for the 5th District Appellate Court in Mount Vernon. That's the Bruce Dickey Show. We'll talk to you all again tomorrow. Have a great day.